Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us gather together on this Sabbath. Thank you for this trial. Thank you for these trials the last couple of months. It's just nonstop. But thank you for getting us stronger in our walks so that we can go forth and do this work for you. And thank you for blessing the work. Please bless our gathering. Please let it be that everything works the way it should work. And thank you for things just working out today. But Father, thank you so much for being our God. It's just so amazing how the world worships all these false gods, these demons actually, and the demons can only stand before them if they're elite as fallen angels or as people that are just strange when they put up statues in front of them. None of their gods can make this planet orbit a sun. None of their gods can make the tides go in and out every single day twice. None of their gods can light up the sky and during the day and darken it at night. None of them can have the moon encircle us. You're the only God of creation. It's something how the devil shows his hand, but you show your hands 100,000 million times more. But no one notices it because they just figure out their heart's supposed to beat in their chest. Their blood's supposed to move in their veins. But that's you. That's you doing all of it, even our breath. But all of them, everyone takes that for granted. And so thank you for opening our eyes to that. For you are a mighty God, worthy of worship. And we offer this prayer and praise unto you in the name of your precious Son, our Lord, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. I'll be back in a minute here. I'm not recording this. Well, I don't know if you guys want to record it, but well, there's that mouse. I was looking for that earlier, but I don't need it now. I'll be right back.
All right, I tell you, it's just been one attack after another, but that is what we have, you know, expected, you know, as the people of God. And but yeah, yesterday morning I went to go make a change on the blog for Brother Joe, and right when I was doing it, my system crashed right when I hit enter to finish the change, and I doubt the change went through. So I'm going to have to try that again because it's kind of an involved thing. But let me just see what this is. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Sean. Yeah. But we could do Q&A if everybody wants. And I don't know. I don't want to have people having to download Discord. I mean, if they want to, that's up to them. It's just like last night, I wanted to go and see and join the Filipino, the Philippine church. And but they do it on Zoom. I just don't like putting that stuff. Discord's okay, but even with Discord, you have to, you know, it's got a server community. That's why I always build the servers on my own servers. If you use Zoom or Discord or Mumble or any of these others, there's a community that you have to go through, kind of like Pal Talk does, where you got to go into a certain area and then you go into that area and then you try to find your church family in that area, let's say. But in order to get there, you have to get past all these satanic websites or rooms. And so that's, you know. Yeah, I know. So does all the other, like Pal Talk and all of it. They you got to have registration. And so it's just another access point for the government. And, you know, that's why we have our servers on our own servers, and this is why we get attacked like we get attacked. Yes, Turbo is working. We're using it right now. But it's not working on my main system. That's why I can't do my study, like the study hour for Christ and His righteousness, because my notes are on my main system. And I can't do the Q&A the way I wanted to because my notes are on my main system. And so I did get the system up and running, but it's 6 months old. And what I mean is I forgot to do a clone. I usually do a clone once a month. And since I got the NAS, I was backing everything up to the NAS, and I figured I'm good there, and I am. Everything's fine with the NAS. The NAS is up to date. It's a network, you know, system, a NAS. It's like another computer, but it's only for backing up. It's a, they call it a NAS. I can't remember what NAS stands for, but who cares. But if I was to, I turned it off. They turned the NAS off last night because if I go to sleep and that NAS is running, and I even turned off my main system too because at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't remember when I said it, the NAS will do an update. It'll take everything off my system, all my hard drives, and put it in the NAS. And the problem with that is the clone that I had to rebuild my system, which I tried as the last resort because I knew the clone was 6 months old, is a spinner, which means it's a spinning hard drive. Yeah, thanks. It's network access storage. Yeah, that's it. Brother Gorney put it right there. But yeah, the hard drive that I used is the spinner. So as soon as Sabbath breaks tonight, I'm getting on the phone with the people that build and ask them if they can help me refresh my hard drive that's got my operating system on there from 6 months old. I can do it, but I have to do it one file at a time, which is going to take a week. But if I can do a system restore, it'll take 5-6 hours. But I don't think the system restore works the way NAS is designed, so I'm going to have to ask them if there's a way to hack it. Because what I mean is my old hard drive was 1 terabyte. The new hard drive that I cloned to it, I down-cloned to a 500 gigabyte hard drive because a spinning hard drive takes 5 to 10 minutes to load your system, and that everything in it is slow. You can't use... This computer is, like, the main system is so mind-numbingly slow, I couldn't do church on it or nothing. And so I put it all on a solid-state hard drive, and it's real fast now. It's normal now. But it's 6 months old, so I got to try to clean it up. So anyway, I don't want to talk shop. I don't, you know, because, I mean, although this is what happened, this is why we didn't do church last night. And this is why we're doing this the way we're doing this now. Oh, that's a good question, Sister Diane. Hold on a second here. Let me just check one more PM. Amen to that, Brother Anthony. Praise the Lord. We made it in. So, but yeah. And I figured we'll just do like a, you know, questions and answers, fellowship and that kind of a thing. No, like I said, everybody can go over to, you know, Brother Lawrence if you want. He's on Discord, though. And, I mean, there's nothing. I was going to use Discord on my servers. I installed it. I installed Mumble. I installed TeamSpeak. All those. Even Rocket Chat, as everybody knows. The reason we used Rocket Chat for a while is because I can make it server bound. It was open sourced. I can make it to where there's no community. I could just, boom. You click a link, you're in my room. You don't have to go around and look at all these other rooms. Well, TeamSpeak, Mumble, Discord, all those, Pal Talk, forget it. They're just, and Zoom, yeah, it's dangerous on top of being, it's physically dangerous, spiritually dangerous, and, you know, because there's a lot of porno junkies and stuff in there too. So, but anyway, so let's just do Q&A, and I just got the first question from Sister Diane. And she asked, and if you want to Q&A me or send me a question, please send it as a private message. Because the scroll, the text chat scrolls too fast for me sometimes. I don't like to keep an eye on it. And or somebody can, like if somebody says, like if you can't PM me, just put in capital letters in the text chat, I have a question. If I notice it, I'll say, hey, what is it? Go ahead, put it in the text chat. Or one of the brethren will PM you and get the question, and then they'll PM it to me. But because we don't do enough of these, we used to do these years ago. We had a Q&A Sabbath, and it was once every 3 months. And it was partially the way I do it now, the way because I was trying to catch up. I'm still over 400 questions asked of me in email that I haven't used in here yet. And, you know, like on a Q&A Sabbath, which we now do every month. And that's why we do it every month. I'm trying to catch up, and it's just not happening. People keep sending emails. That's fine. I love it. I love topical study. And but we used to do it once every 3 months, me and Rob Sessler, before he fell off the path. And we were on the mic. It wasn't the double mic thing like we got with Turbo, but it allowed me to answer a question, and then he would answer a question. And but first we would do the questions that came to us in emails. Oh, no, I don't think we even did those. I think questions were asked in the room, and then me and Rob would go back and forth saying, you want it, I'll want it, I'll take it, you want it, you whatever, you know, that kind of a thing. And or we'd both take it. He'd share his thoughts, and I'd share mine. And so anyway, Sister Diane asks, my question is, does one need to remove our names from the previous church that we have been a member of? And yes, yes, you do. Now, the thing is, now this is the Seventh-day Adventist Church does the same thing the Catholic Church does. I don't know if I was an official member, even though I was a Eucharistic minister and I was teaching Catholic doctrine and all that stuff before I walked out of the Catholic Church. My parents were members, but I think I was an honorary member of the Catholic Church or something, because I never filled out any forms to become a member. But boy, did they have me doing work, you know, because I was on fire. I just wanted to do the work for the Lord, and I was trying to get my life right and all that, you know. And then that's when the Lord got me to open up the Bible, and then I realized, ruh-roh, wrong place to be. And so I literally called them one day and says, I need to remove my name from membership. And then she asked me what my name was, and I told her. And then she didn't say, and then she was getting ready to say, okay. But I says, well, I also want to let you know why I'm leaving. And then I went on for like 5 minutes. I mean, the church is not a Christian church. It was doing pagan this, pagan that. But if I was SDA, I would talk to them about the apostasy and why I left. I mean, I might send a short letter, say the reason I'm leaving is because for the same reason Sister White left the church and stopped tithing to it when she was living in Battle Creek, her and James White before he died, because the apostasy. But she is a prophet. And just like Samuel or Isaiah or any of the rest or Jeremiah, people say, well, if she didn't leave, then there's nothing wrong with the Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, I beg to differ. Ezekiel left Jerusalem and voluntarily went to Babylon, you know, with the other believers that trusted what Jeremiah said, you know, where the Lord spoke through Jeremiah, said, surrender, go back, go to Babylon. The rest that refused, yeah, they're going to go anyway, and it's going to be rough getting there. And but Jeremiah stayed. He stayed in Jerusalem. See, they ignore that part. They ignored a part that she stayed to try to help them fix things, but they refused. They never fixed it. As a matter of fact, they made it 10 times worse after they shuffled her off Australia. And so I've heard many brethren that are in the SDR movement who have told me that they've sent letters or made phone calls and told their ex-churches, you know, their SDA churches, that the reason they're leaving is because it's clear. You can't even touch the unclean thing. And you want me to sit in a church that you, the leaders, are openly admitting is in apostasy, but we should stay with the ship? Show me a Bible verse on that one. I mean, even, yeah, perfect point. Even Peter stepped out of the ship when Jesus said, come. Remember when he walked on the water? So their analogy of staying with the ship, oh, that doesn't even work good, like Titanic. Stay with the ship, guys. How well did that work out? And so, but yeah. Yeah, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. There's a bunch of Bible verses on that, because I've got quite a few stacked. Because I use this a lot. A lot of people ask me, you know, or a lot of people continue in sin or do this or do that, and they don't, well, you know, I have to repeat, like, you know, the Amos 3:3 thing about, what is it, how could two walk together except they be agreed? There's all sorts of Bible verses that says, you know, like even Sister White said, and I put this on SDAapostasy.org, even she said, you know, the first sign of apostasy means you're in a church of Babylon. Any apostasy whatsoever is from Babylon. It's not calling the Seventh-day Adventist church the whore of Babylon, but they'll try to make people think that's what I'm saying when I say it. It's just, no, you go ahead and lie about me all you want, and it ain't going to make the truth any different. You're a sister to fallen Babylon, and Sister White goes into detail about that, but in the edited books that they sell in the Seventh-day Adventist church, yeah, all those statements about Babylon, she yanked them all, or they yanked them all, rather. And that is that's why they get so adamant about demanding people buy those books or stay in the church or whatever and ask them to remove me from the church. Okay, yeah. That's what you got to do. Send them, you know, a gentle, loving rebuke. You know, Ephesians 5:11, or if it's a pastor, 2 Timothy 1, or 2 Timothy 5, verses 19 and 21. And, you know, I mean, or just show what Sister White said about apostasy, or just go to the Bible about apostasy. You can't even touch it. But yet they want the people to stay in the church and sit in the pew in an apostate church, just like the Jews did 2,000 years ago. Yeah. And Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? All right, so let's see what Jimmy has here. Mike, this is from Brother Jimmy. And the only reason I know he's a brother is because the icon he picked has a mustache. Because I never seen that name before in my life. So anyway, my question is, what do we say to someone that believes that Christianity was created to give slaves something to believe in and to keep them enslaved? Okay, well, what do you say to them? Well, I don't know. Calvary? How does that, you know, line up with Calvary? Or how about the serpent that Moses lifted up in the desert? You know, because it was supposed to be lifted up like Christ was lifted up. Why the serpent? Well, because Christ took all the sins upon himself. And, but that is, Christianity was invented to keep the, give them the something to believe in and something, and to keep them enslaved. And they're probably doing the enslavement thing by going with Romans 13, 1-7. It says, you know, the leaders are above, you got to listen to them, do what they say, kind of a thing. But there's also the slavery of bondage. And so what they don't realize is, yeah, they might be enslaving people, but they themselves, the masters, are enslaved in the bondage of sin. That's what Jeremiah was trying to explain to the king. What was it? Antoniah? Or was it, I think it's Antoniah, yeah, the one that kept throwing Jeremiah into, you know, like the stocks or in the pit, or, you know, or whatever. But believe that Christian, the thing is how, my favorite response in any question that tries to slander or belittle, or Zedekiah, yeah, thank you, was it's one of those Kaias. Yeah, Hezekiah, Zedekiah, Ataniah, and there's a lot of Ayas. Anyway, whenever they come at me with the, you know, trying to belittle Christianity, because that's what they're actually trying to do, brother. They're trying to make it look like Christianity is just made up. This is, well, then explain the prophecies. If Christianity is just made up, and hundreds of prophecies about Jesus Christ alone, over 300 of them. I got 150 of them on my site listed. And so, how do they get around those prophecies? I mean, especially today of all times is the easiest time to actually prove Christian prophecy is legitimate and accurate beyond imagination, because you look around, even the scoffers noticing things are happening like those crazy Christians said that was going to happen. So they can't get around that. But to say that, that Christianity was made up just to give the slave something to believe in, if that's possible, how did they get blessed the way they did? You can't. A fake God isn't going to bless them at all, any more than Baal or Chemosh or Dagon or any of these other false gods of the pagans or the Roman Catholic Church. They give them Christian names now, or so-called Christian names, all those so-called saints that they put up in statues. So, but yeah, my main thing, I would bring up prophecy, yes, as if, if Christianity is fake, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it look like it's fake. If it's fake, how did those prophecies fulfill that are thousands of years old? Because you can't say somebody wrote these prophecies a couple weeks ago just to con me. No, this book has been around for thousands of years. And if, and because so many people have read it, billions of people have read it, if there was the slightest typo, it would be caught and they would have to fix it. Case in point. Esword. When I started using Esword years and years and years ago, when he first put it out there, I had a call, Rick Martin, or I think I emailed him. I says, you've got a typo in your so I guess he was typing in the King James, or he got a bogus version of the King James data file. And I says, every time you see the word Savior, it was spelled like this. I'll put it in the text chat. So like this, Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. That's how you spell someone that pushes you out of the like if a bus is coming down the road with no brakes and you're going to get hit. They shove you out of the way and they die in your place. That's, you know, how you would spell Savior. Or like a lifeguard or something like that. Rick Myers, I thought it was Rick Martin, yeah. So then, but this is how the Bible spells Savior. If you don't see the word our, because he's our Savior, the only definition of that word that I just typed, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, the only definition you're going to find in any dictionary is Jesus Christ. But the other way to spell it is lifeguard, a guy that takes the bullet for you. I mean, stuff like that, you know. But, okay, what's this? Lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Okay, I've read, this is from Brother Anthony. I read about Christ being the one who led the children out of Israel, out of Egypt, and is also the one spoken, who spoke the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. I was wondering about how this was Jesus, when Sister White mentioned that the angel whom God said would go before them in their journeys. Jesus is the archangel. Okay, that may have thrown your eyebrows up a little bit, but I've got a Bible study on the website called Who is Michael the Archangel? The word archangel only comes up one time in Scripture. The Vatican has it coming up a couple different times and a few different so-called angels, which are actually demons. And they do say Michael the Archangel is an angel, and they have this whole theology about it. But in the book of Jude, Michael or Jesus was there, and he said, and he rebuked Satan. And so he said, the Lord rebuked thee. That's all. He didn't have to explain himself. But the fact of the matter is, the word arch means leader of the angels. As a matter of fact, I was doing a study this morning, and I was going to use this. Oh, it's in my tablet. I'm going to use this when I get around page 9 in Christ and His Righteousness, because in there, in my studies that we're going to be doing here as a church family, our studies, in that area on page 9, he talks about Christ being so far begotten of the Father in historic time that it's beyond man's comprehension to understand it. And it kind of alludes, it makes it sound like he's saying he was created so long ago that we can't contemplate it, but that still makes him look like he's created. And that's what the people that say Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, I'll go there real quick. I'm going to get my tablet lit. And I have two screens now instead of 11. but it's in my note. Okay, there it goes. I love this tablet. It lights up so fast, but I better put my little charger on it because I'm probably going to be going into this again because these are my notes are all in here. I don't have my notes on Luke's computer. He didn't have Esort on here because that's what I'm using. I'm using Luke's Acer laptop. It's a Nitro. I don't know. I never gamed. But he didn't game either. He did this one. It was kind of like a SimCity kind of a thing. So let me go to my my bookmarks in here. E.G. White Writings, full text search. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll use my little Bluetooth keyboard real quick. Got this dinky little thing on Amazon for like $20. Boy, does it come in handy when you don't have access to your main system. Because I still do my studies. I got to do my studies. Okay, good. Okay, let's go to bookmarks. Elijah, study notes received. Okay, this is my own little private note to myself that this was a study note that I received from the Lord this morning, as a matter of fact. And it's just a dissertation. It's Sister White states in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, starting on page 10. Yeah, I'm sorry, it could be page 9, but you know how they number these things. It looks like 9, paragraph 3. Starts off like this. But getting back to your question before I go into this, Jesus is the archangel, the leader of the angels. I did a study from Genesis to Revelation in regards to this. When Jacob, in the time of Jacob's trouble, was wrestling with the angel, he was wrestling with Jesus. And because he called it the angel of the Lord. Whenever you see the term angel of the Lord in the scriptures, do a study on that. It'll always bring you back to the same spot, and that's Michael. And an angel of the Lord is leader of the angels. It's the way they translated it years ago, but if you look at the word ark in scripture, it doesn't mean he's an angel. He's the creator or the commander. That's what it is. Oh, captain. Captain of the, that's how Sister White called him, captain of the angels. And so, but here, let me read you this, because I think I'm going to incorporate this into my notes, and now it's going to be 2 weeks from now, because I can't do the Christ and His Righteousness study today, even though we're nowhere near page 9 in the studies of Christ and His Righteousness. But there's that section in there that does make it appear, let me see, where Wagoner makes it sound like he's saying that it could mean Jesus is a created being. But then when you go to page 21, he specifically says Christ is not a created subject, if you will. And then the way he goes on from there, he goes on to call Jesus God and all this other stuff. And so, but the people that preach Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, they won't go to that place. They won't use those statements. It's like in that book that I exposed in that one video where they say we should let the scriptures and the spirit of prophecy have their say in everything that they say about this topic. That was a bold-faced lie. And I proved it on the video because there were certain statements that Ellen White said that proved that they were overwhelmingly wrong and they never used those statements that they said. Well, those statements have to be allowed to be said so as to have the doctrine. They're lying just to make people think that they've done all the studies. This is how these false prophets do it. They make people think, oh, says, don't bother looking. I've done all the legwork. I mean, come on. I've been studying the Bible for 1,000 years, you know. And, you know, there's nothing I don't know about it. Really? I haven't seen you walk on water lately, and I certainly haven't seen you raise any dead people. So, but, you know, they'll con the people because no one reads the Bible anyway, so they'll believe it. But yeah, it's on page 9 in the something here. It says, the view of the question built upon him. And the word The word rendered beginning is arch, meaning as well as head or chief. It occurs in the name of the Greek ruler Archon and the Archbishop. Christ is a commander of angels. Oh, he goes into it too here. So, you know what's ticking me off though about this E.J. Wagoner thing? There's two versions of it. At least, well, the one we have is a match to the second version. But the second version has this preface and this, it has a couple of things in there that I just don't see anywhere else, and I can't verify it. So, I'm just going to go with what I have that was written back in 1888, and if we find boo-boos, we know how to fix them. We know how to expose them and put it down and all this other stuff. And so, but yeah, Jesus was that angel. Oh, Jesus is the one speaking the Ten, and he's also the one speaking the Ten Commandments. That's why he allowed Moses to see his back parts. No man can see God and live, you know. And then when one of the apostles, or a few of them actually, asked him, show us the Father, and Jesus says, have been with you long enough, so long that you have not yet seen the Father? Because again, this morning I was even reading in Sister White's writings where she mentions how he is the perfect emulation of the Father, character and form. So however Jesus looks, that's how the Father looks. It's kind of like me and my dad. I look just like my dad, except he didn't let his beard grow as long. So, and his hair went darker. Mine went darker too, but I go outside. I do a lot more outside stuff than he did. But I want to share this one thing with you, because I'm missing a bunch of questions here, but I'm pausing it on the text chat so that I don't miss them. It says, man could, oh, this is again, page 9, paragraph 3 of Spirit of Prophecy, volume 2. And it says, man could not atone for man. Oh, this is the, now I got to work into this for you, kind of give it some history. What she's talking about here is how the Father and the Son were talking about, what if Adam and Eve mess up? They're going to need a Savior. But mankind cannot die for mankind. Angels can die for mankind.
And what if Adam and
Eve, those were that spoke of a Messiah coming later. But the way she words it here, it's amazing. She says, man could not atone for man. His sinful fallen condition would constitute him an imperfect offering, an atoning sacrifice of less value. Hold on a second here. Ooh, Luke has a screensaver on his thing that makes bubbles. So I had to stop that. So it says his fallen condition could not constitute him an imperfect offering, an atoning sacrifice of less value than Adam before the fall, you know, before his fall. God made man perfect and upright, and after his transgression, there could be no sacrifice acceptable to God for him, unless the offering made should in value be superior to man as he was in his state of perfection and innocency. And so before Adam and Eve fell, there would have to be a man that was even more superior than Adam to make it an acceptable offering, if you will. And then she goes on to say that the divine, let me see here, I'm going to just do this. Okay, that works. So, oops. The divine Son was the only sacrifice of sufficient value to fully satisfy the claims of God's perfect law. And there's a reason I'm sharing this, because it answers your question, Brother Anthony. The angels were sinless, but of less value than the law of God. They were amenable, I guess, to law. They were messengers to do the will of Christ and before him to bow. They were created beings and probationers, just like us. Upon Christ, no requirements were laid. He had power to lay down his life, and to take it up again. No obligation was laid upon him to undertake the work of atonement. I mean, he didn't have to die for us. It was a voluntary service that he made. his life was of sufficient value to rescue man from his fallen condition. Now, I put my little personal note, I think, in here. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, there it is. I'm going to go click on it because this was, you'll probably hear me repeat this in about 3 weeks. And this has to do with when I get to that part, which amazingly enough is the same page, you know, paragraph one, though. This is Christ and his righteousness, page 9, paragraph 1, where it looks like Wagoner's alluding to the fact or assumption that Jesus Christ was created. And they'll use that, like I said, but they won't use page 21 where he specifically explains himself. And this is the same guy that wrote the same sermon. So they had to take him out of context to make it look like he was saying Jesus was created or not a god. But the only way that would work for them is if they don't allow page 21 to have it say. And so my point was in this, as I read this morning, was if Jesus was created, he could not be the perfect sacrifice. And this is why many teach he's not a god. It's the same reason there's so many different versions of the Bible. Same reason there's 44,000 different denominations out there. Satan is attacking Christianity at every nook and cranny he can find. And if he can make people think that Jesus Christ is not a god, or the Holy Spirit doesn't even exist, number one, he isn't the perfect sacrifice. Because if he's a created being, he can't be superior to Adam, because they're both created. So he could not be that perfect sacrifice. And number two, when they say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist in the exact same way that the Catholic Church does, where he's just thought process, or the Spirit of the Father, or the Spirit of the Son, because that's Trinitarian teaching. That's why these people that I used to call one-godders, they are literally Trinitarian teachers. They're just putting another spin on a Catholic Trinity. That's all they're doing. It's the exact same. As a matter of fact, go to the Vatican website. On their statement of faith, Vatican website, statement of faith regarding Trinity, almost word for word. And yet they say we preach Trinity, when in fact they do. But that's how the devil's always done it. He's always done the sin and then accused the Christians of it. So let them have their day or have their say. It's not going to change our salvation any. It has already changed theirs if they refuse to repent. But yeah, Jesus Christ is the one that was. I mean, I went way off on that one, Anthony, but that's okay. But yeah, he is the one that was speaking to Moses on a regular basis. He's the one that spoke to Noah. He's the one that appeared as the angel of the Lord multiple times. He's the one that is Michael the archangel. And because no man can see the Father and live. And so, okay, let me get to that. I think we can get up here into the text. Oop, got to get this little mini keyboard off the big keyboard. Gaming computers are very fast. Yeah, that's why he got it. I build gaming computers. That's because I do video editing for my videos. And that's another thing. I got a 1.5-minute video about the Sunday No Car Sundays, you know, to prevent the disasters coming of climate change. That video is 1.5 minutes. And when I was getting ready to do the editing after I was going to do the thing for Joe, bam. But it's the way I set up my system, only my app datas and any kind of operating things in the background for Windows is on C drive. That's it. Everything else is on A, C, D, and J. That way, if those things fail, I got perfect backups of those. But if your main hard drive dies, or like in my case, the master boot record went belly up or something, I don't know, and I couldn't get it to repair, then you're in a heap of trouble. And so that's why I clone things, my operating systems. Like all the servers get cloned once a month, the servers, because it's not hard to fix that stuff. But that's why Luke had this gaming laptop, because if he was going to do editing, it was going to, for certain things on the editing that he used, he needed a faster computer. And the same thing with me, if I'm going to do video editing. I've never done a game on any of my computers. Back in the day when the old-fashioned gaming, I used to do those, like Nintendo or I think that was it. Nintendo and Atari, that was it. I got bored with that stuff quick. Because I was always making software anyway. I just prefer to make my own. So let's see if I can scroll up here. See how well this folder works on his computer here. It works a lot better than mine. Here's Sister Diane's. I'd have to look it up. You can ask Brother Mel where it's at. I could try to look up or email me, Sister. See, now here's the thing that we used to do on the Q&A Sabbaths. If it's going to take 10 or 15 minutes just for me to find something, then email me and I'll do the legwork and then I'll put you in the Q&A pile. And so one day in the future, you'll be on a Q&A Sabbath in regards to Sister White leaving the SDA Church. But it is in her writings. Yes, she stopped tithing, in fact. I do have it in my notes, but the notes are in my email software, which is 6 months old, which isn't a problem because that stuff's been in there for years. But if I turn on my email, the PST files get rebuilt the minute I turn them on. And so I'm going to have an issue and I got to rebuild my entire system because it's all backdated 6 months. So I'm not even opening up my email software right now. That'd be dangerous for me. I mean, I could fix it easy enough, but it's just, I got enough to do. And then Sister Danielle says, how should we go about removing our name from the church books of the SDA Church? I haven't been back to the SDA Church in 4 years, and yet didn't get her to remove my name from their records. Well, first of all, you had to have officially joined the church. Some people don't realize just sitting in the pew and tithing to it, they think that's joining the church. No, it's not. You have to officially join. Now, there are many people in the Seventh-day Remnant movement that have never officially joined us, but they tie to us on a regular basis. You don't need to be a member of the church to be considered a brother or sister. I mean, the majority of the people that come to the church, especially online, they don't even tie. I don't know where their thinking is on that, and they're going to have a real hard go in the coming days if they don't start tithing, because that's, you're denying the Lord big time there. And if you're, and I know some people have done this, and they've done this by mistake. Like one guy likes to send cash in the mail, and he'll send it to me, and he'll say, "Here's some cash for the work or whatever," right? And I know some people in the church family give cash to other preachers, which is no problem if they're on the same page. But if they're guys like Andrew Enriquez, or the other ones with that. I can't remember the other guy's name. These 501c4 preachers, or 501c3, or Walter Veith, or Doug Bachelor. You know, some people send money to me and they send some to them. Well, then you're still in trouble. Yeah, because you can't do that. You gotta tithe where you're fed. And you can't touch the unclean thing. If you're tithing to a 501c3 or a 501c4 preacher, you are helping them to create the image of the beast, and the Lord has seen you do this. The angel with the inkhorn by his side is recording it each time you send money to these apostate leaders that stand in prayer, even if they kneel in prayer. They got a 501c4, 501c3, like Andrew Enriquez or the other guy. Man, well, there's a bunch more, not just those two guys. But I found out recently Pastor Russ has a 501c3. Didn't know that. So, but yeah, amen. So let me just see. But yeah, just the easiest thing is what I did is I just called them. I wasn't going to send them a letter. Back in the day, it was like 37 years ago, like when I said, please remove my name. But most people would just send a short letter, please remove my name from the books. And like the Catholic Church, the SDA Church would say, okay, well, I'll remove it, but they never do. Why? Because of government subsidies. The more people you have in the church under a 501c3, you know, they get some kickback somehow. I can't remember exactly how it goes. But the more members, you know, the more ability to lobby. That's why guys like Ben Carson are in politics now. Think about it. Sister White specifically said, do not involve yourself in politics. Not only did Ben Carson become some political leader, he ran for the presidency of the United States of America, where he has to make the decision to murder people or kill people in the acts of war. So, and how many churches? I think Sister, let me see. She's asking again here. How many churches did I leave remove my name from? Just the Catholic Church. I never joined any. Oh, Pastor Russ. We removed our names from that church because he had an authority issue, like, you know, my way or the highway thing. And I noticed it right off, but I was learning so much. And I was very green. I was a Sunday keeper. And I loved the pulpit. I was on there. I just could not get enough of sharing the truth about Jesus on the pulpit. And he was a Jesus preacher. He wasn't into prophecy or anything like that. He was all about Christ. And so was I. Well, I still am, you know, but I also do the prophecy stuff. And he had some woman usurping authority, and that's when we left. And it was kind of like doing it in a way to put me in my place, I guess. But it just wasn't right. And so we left. And then the other one I didn't like when Joel Laswell had a church. I met him online. I was online preaching, and his wife and some of his church members told him about me. And so he was only like an hour away from where we were living in Illinois. He was in Indiana, and he and his church family was the reason we moved to Indiana. Our house was being sold that we were in, that when we were, you know, 5 acres, 5 bedrooms, $100 a month. We were there for like eight and a half years. And we didn't have the money to buy it, even though we should have bought it. I mean, they were only asking 40 grand for the house, and it was run down. I mean, it was, but I was able to repair the room that had the leaky roof and all that. And so we made it livable. We liked it. And so we moved and we rented in Indiana, and then we found out later that he was never really ordained. But that's not, we didn't leave because of that. I was trying to help him because of that, and I was trying to help him with the health message. Even though he introduced us to the health message, he was very unhealthy because of the way he ate. And I don't know what sparked this. And the only thing I could think of is because of the food thing. But one day out of the blue, him and I had the same server, even though I owned it and I co-located it. He contacted the young man that I was a friend to. He was a hacker. And he ran this thing called Localine. It was an ISP. And they actually wanted me to work there, because when I co-located, I brought my server there and I set everything up, and they go, "Oh, you want a job here?" I says, no, kind of busy. And so I don't know how Joel did it, but he got the young kid to shut the server down, and I go, "Whoa." And so I contacted him. I told him everything that was going on, and the kid put the server back on, but I says, "You need to get his stuff off that server." And when he did, he deleted someone else's server by mistake. And so we lost a church member on that. But it was, I think it had to do with the fact that he thought I was going to tell everybody about something I never told anybody about. And so he figured he'd try to shut me down when he didn't realize. But a few days later, he sent us a formal letter saying we have been excommunicated. So we didn't have to leave that church. He kicked us out. And then, a week or two later, I got 11 emails. 10 were from men. 1 was from a woman. And they were all telling me the same thing. "We don't believe a word he's saying. We know you, Nicholas, and we know you wouldn't do this there." I says, "Who are you people? What are you talking about?" Well, he sent out a bunch of letters, 11 that I know of, but it could have been more, to all these SDA leaders slamming me. For some reason, he thought that I was connected to the SDA church. And he says, "No, I never knew any of those people." Well, one of them, Pat Temple, you know, Tim Cat. She was the only woman I like her. I mean, she's a firecracker. I mean, she's really on fire for the Lord. Her website, Tim Cat, was in Tim Kit for the kids. She's blessed. And this was back in the days of Michael Schaeffler. So it was good. But yeah, I never had to leave his church. He kicked us out. So let me see if I have any more. Oh, we do. Let's see, Sister Diane, I already read that one. Yeah, see, that's the thing, Sister Diane. That's what I was telling somebody else the other day, too, is as long as you tell them, please remove my name, that's your duty. What they do after that, that's on them. If they don't remove it for government subsidies, the Lord watched it, wrote it down with the angel with the heaping coal, wrote it down, and, you know, that's the heaping coal on their head. So that's all on them. So, yeah, you've done your part. So to officially join the SGR Church, one has to complete the 33 lessons agreed to the statement of faith and be baptized for the Saturday Sabbath. For the Saturdays. No, we don't get baptized for the Saturday Sabbath. We get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then fill out request form, please. Yeah, just the 33 lessons that are on the website that somebody, I don't want to go there. It's just laughable. I'm not going to say. But anyway, the 33 lessons and agree with our statement of faith. Yeah, because we don't live right next door. It's not like I can come by and visit and say, okay, you're actually on the exact same page we are. Welcome, brother or sister. You are, you know, we see you as a brother or sister in the faith. And yeah, and then if you're fully baptized, full immersion in front of witnesses, yeah, you don't have to get baptized again, but some people want to. They say, we want to get baptized after joining the Seventh-day Remnant Church. It's not necessary, but some people do. And I do. I can't baptize everybody. That's not my calling anyway. I mean, that's the reason I bought the motorhome years ago. But now, it's all I can do. I gotta wait till April 13th to even call the guy because he says he's so backed up. I gotta get mine working before I can drive it, and I have to drive it to go there. So I'm praying, and please pray for me as I drive. It's only gonna be like a 40-minute drive, but if I have a blowout, that could be a problem, you know. I mean, I've driven on two wheels before, and I've never driven on three. But, you know, where you get it up on one, it goes. I don't care if a dually blows out. I don't want a steering end, the front tire blowing out, because I'm going to drop 8 inches. These are 80 pounds per square inch tires. These are huge tires. This isn't no little Class B. It's almost like a Class A. It's a Class C. It's a 31-footer. And I just assume get rid of it or park it here at the house as a guest house, if you will, because it's got heating, air, kitchen, bathroom, shower, everything, bedroom, too. It actually sleeps at 8. So anyway, Gilbert, it's in the Q&A's. Okay, let me get some more here. Brother Matthew has one. Can you explain Revelation verse 12? Please explain Revelation verse 12. Not a problem. Out of which chapter? But okay, in Revelation 8, verses 8 to 11. Okay, that one I could try and find for you, brother. The other one, I have no clue what you're talking about, so you must have met something. And if I can't, email me, and I'll, okay, where's my, because he doesn't have, oh, I know what, man, hold on a second, I'll be right back. I'll be good. Well, talks amongst yourselves. Oh, there it is, somebody put it in the room, praise God. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became as blood, and the third part of the creatures were, which were also in the sea, and the head of life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp, and it fell from the third part of the rivers, and way too many symbols in here. I have to look at my notes, and let me see, I got Sister White up here, let me see. Because I can't turn my notes up on my main system either because they're 6 months outdated. So give me a minute. I'll be right back. Talk amongst yourselves. But let me, now that I got it up. Man, I got to put this here. I know what I can do. Oh, it's got to be plugged in. Let's see. Where's the power at? 83. That's plenty. So I can unplug it. Oops. Probably could have left that in. Sorry if the mic's really loud because I'm leaning forward. Okay. Put this little tablet right here. Come on, you can do it. You've seen you do it before. All right.
I probably got notes on this. So Matthew, boom, give me. Which show? Why is it turning on? My little. Oh, there it goes. All right, Bible books. Revelation 18. Oh, no, Revelation 8, right? Was it? Oh, man, this is so confusing sometimes. Yeah, Revelation 8, verses 8 to 11. Okay, this is according to James White. Okay, where is this? This starts off at around 468 to 476 AD. You know, Rome's fall is judgment for killing all the Christians. And let's see, the angel, of course, is symbols mean the stars, ministering spirits, messengers, and whatnot. The mountain is heads. Well, let me just see heads of state and stuff like that. But let me see where my personal notes are on this. And then 538 AD is the third angel sounded as the great star of Satan who pollutes the living waters, which is truth, by mixing paganism into Christianity to create Catholicism, which in turn kills many spiritually, and those who refuse to bow are killed, you know, physically. So this is around, I'm thinking, you know, from 476, the first angel. The wars of the wicked as well as the persecutions of the early Christians in Rome, for verse 7, according to James White. And then Rome's fall is judgment for killing Christians in the previous trumpet is verse 8 of chapter 8. Oh, I can't wait to get my system up and running again. This is crazy trying to use these two different scratch pads. So verse 8. And then verse 10 is, again, the great star is Satan who pollutes. And the wormwood thing is judgment, bitterness, that kind of a thing. So like I said, you can't. Something like that, you'd have to email me because there's no way I'm going to be able to. That would take, you know, an hour or so just to, you know, do the study on it. Oh, a woman clothed the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And this is why Rome does what they do with the so-called Virgin Mary statue with the 12 stars in the blue flag for the European Union with the 12 stars. I think it's 13 stars because they give one to the Pope. But because they worship the Queen of Heaven. And so, but let me just see if I got anything on that, because that woman is in 12:1. Hold on, wait. Oh, come on. Let me go to 12:1 real quick here, because I'm certain I got notes on it. Yep, this one represents the true and obedient church. Verses 6, 14, and 17 confirms that, by the way. And then Rome, of course, lies in claiming it's Mary, but it can't be Mary, because Mary is the harlot woman in there, you know, the Mary of Rome, not the Mary of the Bible. The Mary of Rome is the harlot. But Okay. Let's see if we got any other questions. I'm losing my voice. But that's, you know, because I didn't drink like I should have yesterday. I haven't lost my voice in weeks. And all the stress, you know, I was trying to get everything. I wanted to have church last night so bad. From 11 a.m. until, well, Sabbath hit at about 8. But I kept continuing to try to fix it afterwards. And then I gave up and I said, no, this is just way too much work for Sabbath. And that's why I didn't do anything today on it. I don't want to because I'll just do it tonight at 8 o'clock. Because if I get those guys on the phone, if I can do a system restore, because I don't want to do a copy one file at a time, because there's thousands in the app data. And, well, there's thousands, but I'm probably only going to install maybe 75 or 100 of them because I don't use those. App data just hangs in there. I don't know why they do that. It should. Like if somebody uninstalls your software, let them uninstall your software. Quit leaving your little cookies all over the place. It's so annoying. Clogs up the hard drive. That's why Windows computers, it's best to reinstall them once a year. But then when you do that, you got to reinstall all your software. And for me, that ain't happening. Just way too much work. So let's see if we got anything else. Yeah, amen to that, Sister Diana. It'd be nice if we could all meet. You know, but they're doing so many crazy things out there. It's hard to tell. You know, like, especially now, like, because I've seen people get hurt with this. A couple of my kids lost quite a, you know, like $1,000 each, I'm thinking at least, setting up plane tickets to go someplace. And then all of a sudden, Biden with his silliness and his, you know, trying to show off his authoritarian muscle, as prophesied, plane tickets are useless. And the plane, you know, the airport won't give them their money back. So, no, you'll have miles. Well, what if I don't want to use your miles anymore? You know, it's just like on my credit cards. I should take a hint from Brother Eli. He gets free plane tickets all the time just by using the miles on your credit card. I never knew about it. Eli told me about that years ago. I could fly around the world twice now, I think. But I just convert it to cash and tell them to use that to pay a bill or something. I don't travel. Now, when I get home to heaven, yeah, it's going to be all you can do to find out where I'm at because I'm going to travel everywhere. I don't like traveling down here because everything reminds me of sin. Well, at least just the sights. Some people say, you know, so haven't you ever seen the Grand Canyon? Oh, yeah, I see the pictures. Oh, no, you got to go there and see. I go, why? Oh, it's stupendous. It's awesome. You know, yeah, well, it reminds me of what happened at Noah's Ark. As much as I like to see my Lord glorified and stuff like that, I hate the way that people say, oh, this has nothing to do with Noah's Ark, you know. So that's a little pot of rattle, that little skinny river cut that rut. Really, that little bony river way down there on the bottom made this great expanse. How come it's so small now? How can it do that unless it was really, really big to start with? Well, then you would be talking a global flood. Wait a second. You know, and then they start getting it maybe, huh? Because I, you know, and I hate to have to think this, but because I, you know, there was a guy from Oklahoma that died when he was on the side of Mount St. Helens when it erupted. They never found his body. I wouldn't think you could because he was, it's pretty much, I don't know if he'd get atomized. I know he'd get pulverized. That's obvious there, but he's not going to get atomized like if you stood next, like if you were out there having lunch in some outdoor cafe in Japan and when they dropped the, I don't know, that was just a hydrogen bomb, but still, it was nuclear. I mean, it split atoms. But I praise God for what happened in Mount St. Helens because it proved many things for God's creation, and it proved how many liars there are out there about, evolution or anything else for that matter. I mean, they're out there saying that. I mean, take, for example, they say that the Grand Canyon took millions and millions and millions and millions of years. And, well, if that's so, then what about that little miniature Grand Canyon by Mount St. Helens? It's the exact same formation. It has this exact same, mud flow that started it. You know, like we have sediment that are continental size. You know, that's why there's so many, dinosaur fossils from California to the midsection of our nation, because that mud flow and where all those animals died, they just got dumped. They got dumped there. No one even knew. Nobody knew about dinosaurs until it was 1920s or something. I think it was the 1920s when they discovered the first dinosaur, and then they, really started pushing that stuff. So that Mount St. Helens proved, no, Grand Canyon obviously was created in a couple of months, to make that hole that big, a couple of months. And the same thing with Mount St. Helens. And then they try to say, well, what about petrified wood? No, that takes about 20, maybe 30 years tops. This is, no, man, that takes millions and millions of years. Oh, well, let's go to Mount St. Helens again. because a lot of trees got blown over and then covered up with the silt. And, they didn't get any of the magma. They probably got part of the pyroclastic cloud. It was just piles of ash. And that wood got petrified. It's amazing how much evidence came out to prove them wrong regarding evolution when Mount St. Helens blew up. That one guy was taking pictures and running. That was something, those pictures he took. Anyway, got any other questions here? Symbols of Revelation, there you go. This is from Brother Leon. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "It shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Bali, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall be no more, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." Also in Jeremiah 23:27, it says, "Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." Please, can you explain what this means in these two scriptures and what our father is referring to? I've never been asked that question before, so we're talking a study here, but let me just see if I got notes on it. Because, people have forgotten God's name, and then they start saying that God is Baal or Chemosh or whatever. So, Hosea, I'm going to go there first. I'm going to get my screen. I should have put a bigger screen on there. Hosea, chapter 2. Verse 16. Okay, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishi. And Ishi actually means husbandman, because I looked it up here. And then shall no more call me Bali, which means master. And if you look at verses 16 to 23, it's talking about the future Christians, and these are my notes on this. These are the future Christians, rather, and it confirms, and there's a lot of areas in the scriptures that confirm this, replacement theology. All right? And then the Jews are replaced by the Christians. Because we are now called Israel. And I was actually reading again about that this morning as I was having breakfast, because I actually ate breakfast today because I didn't think I was going. That's why I'm getting a little foggy brained. So let's see. And then the other one was where? Jeremiah 23:27. It's probably the same thing, but let me go there anyway. But yeah, if you read it in context, it's verses 16 all the way to the end. It says, well, here, let's read it. Man, I wish my ears would stop screaming at me. All right, so, it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, or husband, man. And that's what Christ is called in Scripture. And it shall be no more Bali. And he also uses the husband, man, when he talks about the Jewish leaders when they were killing prophets over and over again. In that one parable, I believe it's in Matthew 21. So anyway, for I will take away the names of Baalim out of their mouth. In other words, they're no longer talking about Baal, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And then in verse 18 says, and in that day I shall make a covenant for them with the beasts of the fields, or the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword in the battle of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And again, this is the Israel God, you know. And the thing with the beast is all the creatures that might either serve or hurt them. It's that promise of abundance of peace and safety, kind of a thing, you know, throughout creation. I mean, like even now, like if I go out for the midday prayer, and this has happened a few times, I come up on a fox or a coyote or a, or even a few years ago, a skunk. He looks at me, I look at him, and he turns and walks away. You know, but usually they skedaddle real fast. A skunk, yeah, he knows you're not going to mess with him, especially if he's an older skunk. Because he figures, yeah, this human knows I stink, so or I can stink. And what the prophecy here is more. I mean, even Wesley goes into this about this. Is he says this was in some measure made good to the Jews returning out of captivity, but the full accomplishment will be to the Church of Christ. And so, and that's why because Wesley gets a lot of stuff right, but then it's like Luther. He didn't have all the answers, just like with the SDAs, the pioneers. We're getting new light now that they didn't see back then. This is one of the reasons I'm also doing the Christ and His Righteousness series, is because certain prophetic events that they were looking forward to and they didn't have an eyeball on, literal eyeball on, we have. And so we could see these things. Like for example, Wars 1 and 2. Sister White had vision on them and did literally explain how the bombs would be, what types of bombs and everything, but she never saw them with her physical eye, but we have, or our grandparents have anyway. And so going on, it says, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and loving kindness and mercies, and I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, and I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And this is also, like, and this is kind of a goofy way the King James translator did this, but the basic definition of the hearing thing here is you can pay attention to or understand what you're looking at, kind of a thing, you know. And so, and then the earth shall hear the corn or, you know, understand and all that in regards to who created and why it's here. And the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Now, I never looked at the Jezreel, and let me go and see what the Strong's Concordance has on that Jezreel. Let's see. I'm kind of thinking it means anointing. Wait, no, that's not it. It's the name of two places in Palestine, two Israelites named Jezreel, but I'm thinking the way, I mean, just looking at the context of this, they shall understand or know how to plant corn and make, you know, new wine and oil, is the Jezreel can be, they shall hear Jezreel, in other words, they'll understand how the Lord's teaching them how to do these things. I'm wondering if Jezreel is not so much about the people as it is a term that means something. Because, I mean, just look at the names of the people of the, like from Adam to Noah, and then, you know, and then, of course, the 12 tribes. If you look at the names, they tell a story. Each name has a meaning. And so that was the, you know, that was my driveway bell, but the birds have done that 3 or 4 times today. They keep flying in front of that thing. So, but yeah, but the Jezreel thing, it looks more like a they shall hear, because when you read this in regards to all the verses before, like hearing the heavens, hearing the earth, you know, hearing the corn, the wine, the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And then that's where he stops it, you know, and which means you'll understand how to plant or whatever. So let's look at verse 23 here. And it says, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that hath not had obtained mercy. And I will say to them that were not my people, thou art my God. And they shall say, and thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And this is reminds me of Acts 13:46, I think it is. Let me go here. And this is more or less the Christians it's talking about. He's more or less saying, this is where my people Israel is headed, because my people is always Israel. So let's go to Acts 13:46, unless somebody already put in the text chat. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Let me just move this one. And then I got to go to Jeremiah 23:27. But I keep hitting the screen, but it's not a touch screen. You see, the Paul and Barnabas. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was right. So the Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so that's just a prophetic echo of Hosea 2:23, where the Lord says through the prophet, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God, because the Gentiles were not his people. But now all of a sudden they are. Okay, so now let's go to verse. I like doing this. Can you tell? Jeremiah 23. When it was beforehand. 23, what? Oh, boy. I lost my spot with him. Oh, man. 23:27. Is that where it was? I think it was 23:27. Yep, 23:27. So let's scroll her down. 23:27. I hope I got notes on it. And I don't. same thing there. Which think that, Jeremiah 23:27 says, oh, let me go to 26. No, I want to go to 25. Yeah, I think I'll go to 25 here, because you know what this, okay, let me read this. I have heard that what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name. That reminds me of Achan, because he makes up stuff, you know. Well, Achan Iscariot, not the Achan of the Bible, but he has the same roots of Achan and Iscariot, you know, Judas. And so I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name. I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And so, yeah, this reminds me of Ernie Knowles, Seventh-day Adventist Ernie Knowles. He's been telling people for decades that he is a prophet, and he keeps on having these dreams, and he writes these dreams down, and he puts his own spin and interpretation on the dreams, which, you know, we all have dreams. We know that from what we find in the book of Job. We are all given dreams. As a matter of fact, that was what moved me 37 years ago this month to accept and, you know, to literally let go and let God. When I asked the question while I was in prayer, it was on a Sunday, no less, I was all by myself. And I says, Father God, how do you talk to people that won't listen to you? And the first thing that came to my mind was dreams. And I says, okay, well, what kind of a dream have I had recently? I thought about the dream I had the night before, and it was a nightmare. It was, well, I don't, people would call them nightmares. To me, it's just like kind of stuff I've been seeing since I was a kid. So it's not often they scare me. I mean, well, once in a while I have the demon dream where all of a sudden I can see the demon in the distance. This hasn't happened in decades, though. Before I was a Christian, I used to see these, where the demons are either dancing around or whatever, and the demon would be way in the distance, and all of a sudden, bam, he's right in my face, like it's, and that just shocks you awake. I mean, it's, I don't like those, but yeah, the dreams, you know, the way he's, Well, anyway, but getting back to the to what happened to me in March many years ago, I asked him, how does he talk to people that won't listen? And he said dreams. And I says, what kind of dream did I have? And I had the dream, and it was shocking. And I asked him, does this mean if I don't stop doing this in my life, this will happen? And I'm not going to say the this's. Okay? And I didn't hear a voice, but I got a definite yes. And that's when I collapsed. And I just, the first time I ever felt his presence, I thought I was dead. And when I finally, and I was bawling my eyes out. And as I was trying to get up, you know, being Catholic, on my, you know, out of, on my way out of the church, Catholic, because I was reading the Bible now, and I was just about out, because I was going to walk up to the priest and say, hey, could you explain these verses? He told me stop reading the Bible. I was afraid to stand up. Well, I wasn't afraid to stand up. I was afraid to stand up and turn around and look back, because I thought my dead body was on the ground. Because I thought, you know, immediate death, you know, like the Catholics teach. And I thought that, man, what am I going to do? My wife and kids, just, they got nobody to take care of her and all this stuff. And every question, and then it says, well, how am I going to stop this in my life? How am I going to stop that in my life? Every question I was asking, before I could finish the question, the answer came in my mind. And that's the way he's been for 37 years with me. Just the other day, as a matter of fact, I was talking to him about that. He goes, Father God, I've heard your voice three times audibly. But why can't I, the way the prophets of old heard it? Not that I need to be or want to be a prophet. It's scary down here. You know, it's got, sometimes you don't know whether you should go left or right, up and down. You don't know. You want to know. What is it you would have us do? What should we do? And all I kept getting the other day was, you know, 66 books, and I'm thinking, okay, I understand. Because a thought comes to mind, and that's him. You know, as a matter of fact, I tested it one day, and I can't remember what the test was, but it's in my praise list. I was out in the midday prayer. I was like about a quarter mile from home because I was walking the street, right? And I asked him a question, and an answer, bam, instantly came to mind. And it was a Bible verse. And I think, is this what the verse is saying? And I said, Father God, if this is you, this is what the verse is saying. And I went, I didn't run, but I went a lot faster home, and I flipped open my Bible, and that was the verse. And so I said, but I know this is how he talks to all of us. The verse just comes to mind. You know, it's the John 14:26 promise. I mean, if you don't study the Bible, those verses aren't going to come to mind because they haven't been said to you. You know, like if I tell you my phone number, you're never going to, if I don't tell you my phone number, you can't remember it to call me. Well, if you don't read his Bible, you can't remember what he said to avoid that problem. And so that's how he's worked with all of us. A lot of us don't understand that, don't realize it, don't, you know, that 99.9% of the time, I mean, because even Elijah had to hear the still small voice. The first time I heard it, I had to hear it, else my daughter Mandy would have died within, a, I don't know, 5 seconds. That was the very first time I've ever heard his voice, and then it stopped Mandy from dying. But instantly, I mean, it just, whatever was supposed to happen, the light switch went on, and bam, yeah, danger was over. But the that's the only way he talks to us that I can think of. And then the other was like, oh, I need some deep inside information. And then the 66 book thing came up because that's what it was. I was talking about saying, Father God, you know, even David, okay, granted, they've already rebelled against you in Samuel's day, demanding a king. And we all saw how well that worked out with Saul. But look at David, Father. Not only was he a good king, he was a prophet. But even David needed to do like the patriarchs and prophets of old did before Samuel. They had to go to a prophet to get your voice on something. Why can't we do that today? 66 books. I mean, I kept getting that, right? In other words, you've already gotten the answer. But yeah, there's going to be times that we're going to have to know left, right, up, down, whatever, like if we're on the run. Then something's going to come to your mind. And you're going to know it's the Father, right? And so just go with it that way.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. What Sister Diane just put in the room there. What would you have us do? We do not always like the answer, yet we will learn and grow if we do his will. And so, yeah, because a lot of times the answer is no, or do it this way. What are you talking about? Because I can imagine, was it true about William Miller was a little scared to preach the first time? I mean, you could have taken my pulse from the rug I was standing on the first time I preached, because I was not a preacher. I didn't believe it. I didn't think I was a preacher. I mean, sure, I was doing stuff on the street, making tracks, doing this, doing that, doing studies and research, but I didn't think I had the word, because ever since a kid, I remember when it was oral report time in high school, the devil got me there. He made it to where I was afraid to speak publicly. Okay? And on top of that, fear on the pulpit that day, I was afraid to say something wrong. You know, because it's a scary thing to be a preacher or a pastor. Very scary. Because you say something wrong, other lives are in danger. This is why it really shocks me that these, and I'm not talking about the Aikens or even the Jesuits and all. I'm talking about these guys that people actually think they're telling them the truth, and some of them can back it up with some scripture, but they stand up when they pray, or they keep Sunday holy, or like the SDA church, they have a bunch of Sunday-keeping churches open so that when they enforce Sunday laws, they can stay in business. Are you that stupid? You have the evidence that Christ is coming back soon, and so instead of preparing your life, you're preparing your family, you're preparing your business. And your business is church. Churchianity has nothing to do with Christianity. You're just making sure your doors are open. And you know those are the Jesuits that did that. The legitimate SDA wouldn't do that. The illegitimate SDA that just doesn't know well enough, he wouldn't do that. He's a Sabbath keeper. He's not going to open up his doors and start a church on Sunday. But a Jesuit will, because the Jesuit knows they need the Seventh-day Adventist people to help them push the lie to get them to bow to the Sunday laws, because they worship Satan. And that is their duty for their God. We have our duty, though, for our God. And we're going to do our duty. And so that ticks them off. So whatever. Took William Miller 9 years to prevent. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's a little shaky, as was I. I found the Lord mid-80s, and I think it was 1989 or 90 is when I was on a pulpit at Pastor Russ's church. And then it was like pulling teeth to get me off. I mean, just pulling teeth to get me on it, then you couldn't get me off. Because even though I was on it, and I was scared and all that, I thought, this is what I was created to do. As scary as it was, I thought, in the middle of all that fearfulness, the peace of Jesus was on me. And it, you know, and I remember my first sermon was called, the title was, But I Wanted to See Jesus. That was the title, I Wanted to See Jesus. And what I meant was, I had 3 or 4 Bible verses on a piece of scratch paper, and I walked up there, and I was going to tell them how I found Christ and what worked for me. And so there was a few Bible verses that the Lord had given me, and they're on my main system, so I can't remember. Well, maybe I got them in my, there were these 3 verses that came to me. Like every now and then, some of my brothers know I do this to you, and some of my sisters know I do this to you. As a matter of fact, I just did it, sent a verse to my daughter Courtney this morning, I think, or was it last night, a verse that the Lord gave me specifically for her. Let me just see if I have this in my study notes, because it's on my Notezilla notes on my main system, but I'm looking at 4 black screens right now, and it's off. I'm not turning it on until 8:08. No, sorry. Fran and I, when we read and the Sabbath breaks, all of a sudden, oh, wow, Sabbath broke a half an hour ago or something. We just keep going. And when Luke was here, yeah, he did this. You know, none of us had a problem with it. We didn't ever skirted the Sabbath. We would start early and end late. You know, like say if the Sabbath started at 8, we start reading at 7:45. If the Sabbath ended at 8, we'd be done reading at 7:45 or 8:30 or 9 o'clock, or, you know, because we just start to, you know, gabby people, you know. I think, you know, some of you know about that.
I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but his initials are Sean. But, you know, or even Lawrence, you know, he's got the gift of gab. And some of you too, but it'd be nice to see everybody on the pulpit. Okay, let me get study notes, topic notes. And let's see if I put it in there as a number. Nope, there is no number three. I think there's four verses. No, three? Nope, T. Okay, it's in there for T's. Let's see if I can get down to three. There were three specific Bible verses that the Lord gave me. Nope, they're not in here. Oh, dwell. What am I going to hang it up on? I used to. I'll be right there. Could be hanging up on the wall here. Soon. You're taking my No, it's, I know it's in my Bible I used to study from, that's in the motorhome, and there's this, I started doing it digital years ago. Yeah, amen, Anthony, that's kind of like skirting the Sabbath. It's kind of like the Jews did. They're sitting there with the money in hand, and the other guy's sitting there with the product in hand and waiting for the sun to go out. As soon as it goes down, bam, he starts, you know. It's like it's a race. He says, no, why are you skirting the Sabbath? Why don't you just relax and be with the Lord? It was a regulation. It wasn't a time with the Lord. It was a regulation to them. But, yeah, there was these three verses. Yeah, because even my crazy, or my, what was it, crazy notes, or what is it called? Notezilla. It's 6 months old, too, because I updated it recently where, you know, there's these four verses, but that's neither here nor there, and I just looked at the clock, and it's after three. Who'd have thunk that we'd be going this long without, you know, just, you know, this is a nice way to spend the Sabbath with brothers and sisters, you know? Is anybody else? You know, we could have a back and forth on here if, like, anybody else can turn on their mic if they want. But, like, if there were any, I don't know if there's any other questions. Oh, I got a PM up here. Okay, where is it here? Like, that one time me and Lawrence talked, but that was only because I wanted to hear what happened when he went to D.C., and he's still trying to find that video of him preaching. And I'm kind of hoping that he finds it. Yeah, Amos 8:5, excellent. My throat is raw. That's my fault. I let things stress me out too much. I wanted to have church last night so bad. Should have just done it this way. But at least now I got it locked in on this laptop if ever I need it. And I'm going to probably throw my other laptop away or use it for something else. Okay, how do I pin the taskbar? So now I got Turbo Meeting on this old laptop that Luke. So he saves the day again. I don't know how many times I needed this or I needed that. And thanks to Luke. Because he always had these extra, because he did a lot of stuff with technology. He had an eBay thing too. He was selling stuff. Says, hey man, you wouldn't happen to have a DisplayPort HDMI converter, would you? Well, it just so happens to get one right here. You know? that kind of stuff. He would always had it. And now, when I needed his help again, there's his old laptop. Looked out good. And this one charged. It actually says 100% now. Or actually says 2 minutes to full charge. My other one, I had it plugged in for 15 minutes. It kept saying zero. Wonder what it says now, because I turned it off and plugged it in. But that, the mouse pad on it, oh man, Lenovo, never again. Not even at gunpoint. Never going to get Lenovo again. They ruined that company. Because Lenovo used to be IBM. They bought them out, changed the name, turned into junk. So, that laptop is, in the, no, never again. But anywho, I guess we can call it a Sabbath. I'm going to leave the turbo running. I'll make WTPR the host like usual. There, that's done. So you can do the 5 o'clock if you want, Sean, or Eli, whoever's going to do the 5 o'clock. Okay, what was this? Let me just see. That is pretty interesting, Sean. I mean, yeah. Who was it that Eli? Yeah, you guys, that'd be excellent for both you and Eli. Because the turbo, we have 20 seats. That's what we purchased. Why I bought so many, I don't know. But, and I'm thinking, remember when turbo crashed twice last week? I'm thinking that was the hard drive doing it. Because every now and then, everything was slowing down. I go, what's going on here? And it's an M.2 Samsung NVMe. NVMe. Terabyte. Super duper. And you pay extra for it and everything because I thought, for the ministry stability. And sure enough, that's the one that died. So I'm going back to the old SSD. That's what I'm using now on there. It works great. It's just 6 months old, so I got to work on that tonight. In 5.5 hours, 4 hours, whenever, I'll probably be up too late again, like usual. But yeah, WTPR is live right now, yeah. Yeah. And that's what it's going to be like until Eli or somebody or Sean texts me and says, flip over WTPR. And if it sounds, I don't know, let me see what it sounds like here. Testing. Oh, brother. That echo is annoying. Let's see. Oh, I'll do it on my cell phone because I'm not using my mic even. I'm using this laptop. And let me go to the website. That's the nice thing. This is the first time this ever happened in the church is where the servers are up. Everything's fine. We even got our bandwidth and everything. Can't do streams, though, because the main system died. Well, the hard drive died. So. First time that ever happened. Okay, Presence of God Ministry, WTPR, play. Let us turn up the volume. Presence of God Ministry, a little bit of lag. WTPR, play. Man, that sounds like Joe. Let us turn up
the volume. Presence of God Ministry, a little bit of lag.
Yeah, it's light. It's laggy. I told you. Why is it doing this? Oh, there it goes. But it just kept going. But, yeah, you can hear the raspiness of my voice, and you can hear it's a laptop microphone. It's junk compared to the mic that you use. Which I told you. Remember, I tried that. I think it was... I think Joe suggested it last night, and then I remembered it, and I figured I'm going to give it a shot this morning because I didn't know if I would be able to go directly through the server to get an audio signal to WTPR. I can, but I would have to reprogram the radio caster, and that thing is literally a nightmare. It is so archaic. Once you figure it out, and I praise God that they actually give you a backup utility built in, because there was a couple times that I program it, and then all of a sudden something happens, you know, like a Windows update, and I got to redo this, read that. And it's just, it's so touchy, so annoying. And it, like, in other words, it just turns your audio chip into a server, is what it does. It gives it that 8088 thing, you know. And but I don't use 8088, not even at gunpoint, because everybody else does. And you want to get hacked, use the normal ports, use the default ports, then you're gonna get hacked. So anywho, I'm gonna get going. Brother Dwayne, is he here? Is he gonna do the music? Or Joe? Oh yeah, he's got his hand up. So, and now that stuff will sound normal. When Sean gets on the mic, that'll sound normal. But yeah, not me. I don't know if you recorded it. It's just way too long. I don't know, and it's up to you guys. Yeah, maybe, you know, if you record it, just send it to me like usual. And Joe, as soon as I get everything fixed here, I'll try to fix that thing for you too. And let me, I could have got, oh, I know I got emails in the last 24 hours, but 36 hours. And I, yeah, that's another thing. I'm going to be backed up on the emails again because I just don't have a way to check them right now. Oh, yeah, we got to pray. Thanks, Tim. Oh, all right. Please bow your hearts. I'll kneel first if you can. Thanks, Tim. Oh. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for giving us this technology to get around these issues. And thank you for blessing each and every one of us with a desire to glorify you and please you. Even right down to us stopping our silliness and our sins and our just bad ways. Thank you for keeping the strong hedge of angels around us and having our eyes wide open and blessing us each and every time we open up your scripture and letting it be each and every day. Yes, many of us don't seem to realize you cannot have a relationship with somebody if you don't see them every day. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us there too. And thank you for giving everyone on our prayer list a hug today and answer to their prayers. Thank you for blessing this week ahead of us, but especially the remainder of this Sabbath. And again, thank you, Father, for helping us gather. Because we miss each other. And so thank you, Father. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your precious Son, our King for eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, everybody. God bless. I'm going to sign off. The next thing you're going to be hearing here is music from Brother Dwayne. And at around 5 o'clock, that's an hour and 45 minutes, Sean or Eli or somebody's going to step up to the mic. So God bless. Take care. And one of these days, one of us has to figure out a way, or one of us has to learn how to start turbo from your house. All right. But you got to do it with the ID number, you know, the 1090 thing on the bottom. And that's all I did here. I just opened up Luke's laptop, installed turbo, and hosted a meeting with the ID of that, you know, the 1090 thing. So, all right. Thanks again, Tim. You're very welcome. We'll see you all next week, prayerfully, and everything's up and running. And hopefully, I would love it. I could do it tomorrow, but probably Monday or Tuesday, my next video, minute and a half. I'm thinking that's the reason for the attack, that and our studies and our fellowship and all that stuff. And so thank you, everybody. God bless. We'll see you soon. Good night. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.